Old brother Prescott's son preached good to us this morning, didn't he? And brother John and brother Ben's dad preached good to us, didn't he? Praise God. So we're just glad for that. I want to say this, and we'll try to go ahead and do what we feel like the Lord would have us to do. But David talked about his grandson and granddaughter, I think it was, granddaughter, right? And how long he talked. When he gets some great-grandchildren, he'll preach a whole week on them. My great-grandboys, two of them, one's soon be five, one's three. Their mother's not saved, and I want you to help us pray. She's going to church tonight, by the way, and I'm praying the Lord will get a hold of her heart, and she'll get saved. But the other night, my wife, after she just had surgery, tomorrow be a week ago, doing wonderful, she said, tell everybody, hello, she loves you, wish she was here. But she was kind of having some trouble, and our great-grandboys hasn't been taught anything about God, nothing. Well, Joanne and I are trying to teach them a few things, and of course we're trying to say, look, you don't come to the table without a shirt on. You don't eat without praying. And we've got them where they're least turning thanks at the table. So the other night, Sister Joanne said, Neil, would you go get Rebecca and the boys and bring them back here to the bedroom and pray for me? He said, I'm hurting a little bit. Would you get them to come back here? Maybe she'll pray. We'll get her back here in the bedroom and we get to praying, and maybe she'll pray. And I said, okay. So I go up to the front of the house and I said, Rebecca, would you and the boys come back and let's pray for Mama and pray that the Lord would help her. And of course, yeah. But the oldest one, which will soon be five, immediately, and some of you know her brother, Wade, Rebecca's brother, but immediately, Whalen said, I'll pray. I'll go pray for her out there. And he went and run back there. I mean, shot down the aisle of the hall and into the bedroom where Mama was. He run up there and laid his hand on her. He said, God is great. God is good. God, we thank you for all this food. By your hands we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for the daily bread. And he said, I prayed for her. And out the door he went. And time I could get over there to pray, my wife said, I'm feeling better. Isn't that something? I've told several, but to me it's just fascinating that such a child's prayer, and so sometimes it's not the words we say as much as we have it in our hearts and in the intents of our heart. Thank you. God bless you again. Thank you, brethren, for asking us, brother, wherever he is, brother Roston and brother Ingram, thank you. Now, last night, I come up on this platform because the head cheese kept motioning for me to come up here, in case you wondered why I walked up here. I wasn't walking up here to be seen. I wasn't walking up here to just let you know I was here, but the head cheese two or three times, and I'd say, and he said, I was afraid he was going to come up here and say, I've asked this preacher to come up here, so I just came on. I believe in those who are in authority to obey them. Amen. So I was up here because of that. But anyway, would you look with us tonight in God's divine library? My wife told me when I was talking to her, she said, now, honey, get up there and preach and don't chase any rabbits. I just saw a few go through. In God's divine library, if you would, and before you do, because there are some people here that wasn't recognized tonight, and I'm sorry, I about overlooked them. Brother Rodney Norman and Sister Pat, would you stand back there, please? Brother Rodney and Sister Norman, Sister Pat Norman. This is Brother Rodney Norman and Sister Pat. They work with the House of Hope and with the homeless, and what these brothers preach, that's exactly with people that their lives are ruined and marred and scarred, And they're working with them. Now, brother and sister Norman is relatively new to the holiness people, to our group. But they want holiness. They believe in holiness. They want us to continue in holiness. And the organization that they were in was going the other way. And they just wouldn't go that way. And they've cast their lot with the holiness band. And we thank God to have them. Amen. So if you want to be a part of a ministry, be a part of a ministry of that sort, and of course Brother Steve knows them, and I don't know how many more know Brother Rodney and the Normans, but they're precious people. I have the privilege of being their pastor, but they're doing a good work for the Lord and going out into the highways and byways and trying to bring in bums and deadbeats and drunks. And I've been over with them a few nights to the meeting, and it's different than here. But I appreciate their burden for the lost. Look with us in God's divine library tonight, if you would, in the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. And then we're going to chapter number 11. And we'll read there, chapter number 11 and verse 38 of chapter 11, verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, acknowledging him, recognizing him. Chapter 11, verse number 38, please. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. I would like for you to pay close attention, if you would, please, on this 38th verse. Of whom the world was not worthy. Would you stretch your right hand toward me and ask God to anoint us now? Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your gospel. I thank you for this time of fellowship and this oasis that we have. But this time, Lord, that we've gathered together here tonight, and already what we've seen accomplished and what's been done, we give all the glory and honor to God the Father in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Ghost. Now would you anoint this thy servant, O Lord, with that same anointing that you had when God the Father anointed you with the Holy Ghost and with power, and you went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Lord, if you'll do it, we'll honor you and thank you and praise you. Give you the glory for everything that's done in Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to use, and of course, being asked some time back by Brother Ingram and these good brethren to preach this meeting, to preach in this meeting. I, of course, as any other preacher would do, begin to pray and seek the will of God and what the will of God would be for this meeting tonight. May I say, I got 40 messages for this meeting. It'd take a while to preach all 40 of them in 30 minutes each, wouldn't it? But maybe I'll not be like the brother was down, Brother Eugene, and that you probably was there when it happened down there in Wetumpka. Got up and preached an hour and a half, and after preaching an hour and a half, he said, I want to apologize to you, I've got the wrong message. Maybe we'll know that before. But several days ago, just all of a sudden, I saw something that really has stuck with me for the last several days to bring to you tonight. And I'd like to preach to you tonight from the text and the thought of the unworthy world. Now, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, as we well know, is called the Hall of Faith, or the Heroes of Faith. And it talks about all of those, and we can start with Abel and come right on as far as for naming names, right on down to Samuel, and talk about those so many that their names are not even mentioned in these scriptures. The writer is so excited about telling the experiences of these and all and different things that's happened. Just like with Brother Bill Tinsley, a great, great brother, a great man, known him for many, many years. Brother Tinsley and me have been great friends and buddies together over the years, and such an honor to give, and he's worthy of every bit of it. Thank God for all that was said. I have precious memories also of the Tinsleys, as well as most all of us preachers. And we could go down starting with Abel and come right on through and speak all the way about Samuel. And then about the prophets. And then about others and women and such and so forth and on like that. We could talk about them. But really, I want to talk about you. You've read this. You know this. You've seen what they have done, and through faith and by faith, what they have accomplished. We understand that, but that was for their day and their time. So in regards to that, I would like to talk to us tonight more about us in our time. The world that we live in today, as you well know, has become harder, and harder. It wasn't but a few weeks ago when I was preaching in a certain place after the meeting was through, or the service was through that night, and I had preached as hard as I could and begged as sincerely with bitter tears, weeping and crying and praying and telling of illustration and of examples of things that people have, by failing God and by not accepting the gospel, the trouble they got in, the sorrows they met, and brokenhearted, I stood there and wept and cried in the altar service, and the altar was barren. When it was over, one of the brothers come to me and said, "Brother Neil, what is your diagnosis of the cases that we're in today?" I said, "Brother, we're living in a hard and callous time, when men's hearts have become hardened to the gospel of Jesus Christ." Amen. We've come to a time when it's not like Brother Pittman was telling some of them about when I first went to preach for him right at 50 years ago, when I had that big, big, gigantic motorhome that I had, starting out as a young evangelist, and such a great motorhome I had. It was an old 39 school bus without a air conditioner and without a heater and without a shower, without a bathtub. I mean, we washed in the pan and done the best that we could. But we had revival. Amen. Yet in these years that we've come and gone, I believe I can speak for the vast majority. I'm reminded to Brother Ben and Brother John's daddy, he and his wife and Joanne and me, we evangelized together. Pulled that old fifth wheel and rode that old motorhome across this country, and we had great times together and great revivals. Now it's come to the time that it looks like, and I'm sorry to say, but it's a rare thing to see three or four get saved in a couple of weeks. Amen. And if so, most of them, a lot of them won't stay. It's in and out. It's a little dabble, do you? They don't want it. I understand that. But tonight, as I looked around, I prayed around this altar, and I prayed for Sister Sherry Bolin, as well as Brother Terry, and I reminded of what he told me some years ago, and what when we were talking and loving Brother Terry and Sister Sherry as I do, and seeing God help Sister Sherry, I feel like you really helped, and others was helping, being helped here tonight. I said, this is what we're here for, is to get strength and to get help to go back out. Praise God. I want you to know that I feel like tonight that I am standing among some of the most honorable people in all of this world. I believe I could lay my billfold down here tonight. And, of course, if you knew how much is in it, you wouldn't bother it anyway. But I could lay my billfold down here tonight with all faithfulness that it would be here when I come back. And if it wasn't, I'd be looking outside for somebody who came in from somewhere else and took it. I would never think that there would be one person that would do this. There's evangelists that you have come and seem like God has dealt with me to talk to us about. You have come. You're tired. You're weary. You're worn. You preached and not all that much respond. You prayed till you didn't know what else to pray. Your wife is tired and give out. And your family is worn, as well as pastors who have climbed hills and went through things. And there's preachers sitting on the sound of my voice tonight that I have not failed from time to time, and some of them on nearly every day that I've called their name in prayer. And my wife will tell you the last thing we do at the end of a day, I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning or if it's 5 o'clock in the morning when we go to bed, the last thing we do is pray before we crawl in that bed. I don't care what else, but my wife will tell you that many of the time that I'm praying, and I'll say, oh God, help our pastors, bless our pastors, help our evangelists, Lord, help our missionaries, to our pastors, give them a vision to lead the flock, to our evangelists, give them a message to reach to the lost, to our missionaries, may they go in those places where no one else wants to go. Lord, I pray that you would help them and minister to them and strengthen them for the responsibility and the duty that lays upon them. Listen, this world does not appreciate the sacrifice that you are making, but I'm telling you, heaven does. Hallelujah! They may never pin roses on you. They may never ask you to sit on the platform with the governors and senators and with the great statesmen of this day and time. But I'm telling you, heaven's looking on tonight. They're unworthy of such holy people that I stand before. We can talk about those people, but like I said, you've read about them. I want to talk about holy people that is here tonight. You have left your home to go yonder and pastor somebody that really you didn't know that much about. You pulled your children up and your belongings and walked away from a good job to go and carry the gospel and preach and to pastor sometime people who do not care and appreciate. Nonetheless, you went. Thank God for our evangelists who have hooked up to those fifth wheels and those trailers and those motorhomes. I wished every one of you had one 600 foot long and 400 foot wide. Praise God. Go to it, boy. I'm for you. Hallelujah. And you that have pulled your clothes in and out of a station wagon and out of a van and out of a car in order to preach a gospel and sometimes get there and nobody seems to care that much and that much interested in you trying to preach and trying to have a revival. But I want you to know heaven knows. Praise God. In a day of compromise, in a time when men are bound to the fancies of this world and to worldliness, thank God that I can stand tonight before a holy group of people who are sanctified, who are Holy Ghost filled, who are holiness people, and don't mind to stand up and declare to the world, I'm still holiness, and I believe it like we believed it 40 years ago. Well, help me while I try to preach a little bit. Oh, yeah. You're the best. You've been through some things. You're the faithful servants. You're the ones that have pulled hard, preached hard, prayed long, cried often, been through it. When I was praying, the Lord seemingly spoke to my heart and said, if all the tears that have been shed in this congregation right here tonight was bottled up together, it'd fill numbers of bathtubs with nothing but briny tears. Oh, of all the sorrows that you have encountered in the last few years was all gathered together, it drive the vast majority insane. All the heartaches that are broken, and you've been broken, and you've come to the place, I don't know. Oh, nobody seems to care. But I want you to know, in spite of all that of an unworthy world, there's a God that says you're worthy. I read in our text tonight, and I read in our thoughts where the writer of the book of Hebrews, he calls them holy brethren. And he says unto them that you have a heavenly calling. Praise God, you left mommy, you left your kindred, you left your friends, you left your comfort zone, you left the places that you could feel secure. You walked away from a job that could have paid you big money. It is proven over and over again, every successful preacher, if he had been in the circular world of the business world, he would have been an executive in the business world. But you've choose to follow the lowly Nazarene. You choose to suffer with him. You choose to walk away from those jobs and away from those opportunities to please him who has called you with a holy calling. But just for a little while tonight, I want to tell you, your heavenly Father hasn't forgotten you and forgotten where you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, Terry and Sherry, wherever you are, I'm going to pray more for you. I'm going to pray for you more. Hallelujah. Oh, it hurts me when I see my brothers and sisters hurt. It burns me to see our men and women that's so faithful to God, holy men that's called of God. You've been chosen of him. Hallelujah. You chose to suffer with him. You chose to live with him. You chose to be with him. Hallelujah. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, yes, you've been through it. Hallelujah. But if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Oh, hallelujah. There's going to be a change after a while. It's going to change here in a little while. Thank God, have mercy. I'm telling you, a few of us older head, we're heading toward the sundown. We don't have very many more days and many more years to go. But our young brethren and sisters that's coming on, I'd like to encourage you tonight and tell you, though you're working in the 11th hour, you'll still get the penny just like everybody else, and you'll get the reward just like everyone else. It doesn't matter if you're a missionary, a home missionary. It doesn't matter if you're an evangelist or a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're just a laity in the church and you're working. You'll still get the reward if you're working where the master wants you to work. Hallelujah. We have those that our brothers have. Brother Austin recognized tonight of the missionaries. Oh, yeah. They slept in lice-infested areas. Have you ever been over there and watched them pick lice out of their heads and crack them between the teeth? That's gross. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Sit there. I call it booger hunting. I had a brother sitting there, Sister Cecily, with me one day in Tubala. There's two girls on one out there going through a hair. And I punched this brother and I said, brother, you know what they're doing? He looked, he said, no, I ain't never seen nobody. I said, they're booger hunting. And every now and then they'd pull one out and stick it between the teeth and crack it. They tell me, I don't know, I hadn't ate any, but they say the protein's real high in them. And you know, they're pushing us for protein now. Get your protein, child. Hallelujah. Ah, yeah. There's missionaries sitting here tonight that you and your wife have left the comfort zone with the air conditioning and with the fine cars and the carpet churches and the padded pews, and you've chose to go and follow him into a foreign country and among people that is not of your nationality and really their style of living and makeup of their life is so much different than yours. And Sister Myers said this years ago to us. She said, I love the Mexican people. God has placed me among the Mexican people. But she said, I love to come home because I'm among my own people. And I can feel comfort. I can feel relaxed among them. I can just get in and shout and rejoice. Thank God that you have traveled those places and went in those places that while you're sitting there eating those mangy dogs rubbing up against your leg and the flies are flying around in your plate and you are swapping and are going it back and forth and trying to beat him to the food, and Brother Pettit and some of them are laughing. They know what I'm talking about. And you've slept in places that this world can't even imagine, especially America. But I'm telling you tonight, it's people like you that is the reason the kingdom of God is still going. I understand that some of us are getting old, but I have great hope in our own coming generation, in our young brothers. Thank God that I'm able tonight to stand before men of great experience like some of these older heads that are around here. But I'm also honored to be able to speak to young preachers who are such a dynamic preacher with such a holiness life to live sanctified and holy. Keep it on. Go on. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there's a reward waiting. The world is unworthy of you. They're not fit for you, but God put you here. The world is irreverent to you. They scandalize you. They talk about you. They criticize you. But what did Jesus say? He said, they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. So go on. Hallelujah. I've come to tell somebody tonight that your heavenly Father knows where you are and what you're doing. Well, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You've been through sorrows and heartache. But remember the captain of our salvation. Amen. They also persecuted him. They ridiculed him and found fault with him. Oh, they refused him, rejected him. They spat upon him and they crucified him. And he was crucified as a thief. He died as a man, laid in the tomb as a dead man. But oh, blessed be that third morning. Hallelujah. When death no longer could hold him, when no longer the tomb could contain him, he came out as a prince. He arose as a king. He ascended on high and led captivity captive and sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you, my brother, and you, my sister, for you all, saint of God, of whom this world is not worthy. They were not worthy of him. They were not worthy of these in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. But I want you to know they're not worthy of you also. Nonetheless, press on, preach on, sing on, travel on. There's a reward at the end of the journey. Woo! You don't know how I cried when that alarm on that diesel truck you had broke. We couldn't get one for it. We just took a shot in the dark and went, got one off of my old van. One of them's a diesel, one of them's a gas burner. It worked. I seen you get in that truck and that precious wife of yours that was then expecting and had to hurry home. And those little children buckled in that old truck that night. And I followed you to 98. I stopped there when you turned, if you remember, in a blink of my lights. I sat there and bawled and squalled. Not only for him, because he's God called, but I cried for her. I cried for those children that had to ride all night long strapped in that seat because the law says so. And because you got to do it according to the law. Amen. And they travel all night long, road to get back there, to get to their next place. Oh, God. Oh, God. The unworthy world, they don't appreciate that man. They don't appreciate this man and this man and that evangelist back there. They don't appreciate this evangelist over here and these pastors here. Oh, no. Oh, no. They're unworthy. They're not fit. They talk about, scandalize, and criticize. They call us crazy. One fellow said about me that another one said. He said, you're a nut. I said, I am, but I'm on the right boat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, they think it's strange that we gather for such an occasion as this. Come from Oklahoma and from different places to be here to sing and preach and hear preaching and come for this oasis. They think it's strange that we pull in here in such a way and pay the price we pay. But they don't think it's nothing wrong to drive or fly all the way to Hawaii to see a ball game, see somebody kick a ball out the field and them butt like billy goats and run back and forth and here and yon and back and forth. And here they go back and forth and they'll throw it and they'll run them or grab it and turn around and run back with it and they'll throw it back and they'll go back and forth and get so mad and hoot and holler and everything else till it's a sight in the world. Praise God. They think it's strange that we would come together like this. But I'm telling you, there's a worthiness here. There's a crowd here tonight that the world's unworthy of. Oh, hallelujah. I got to go ahead and try to preach to you tonight if I can just a little bit. Listen. Listen. We are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I don't see how they made it. I'll tell you, by the grace and the help and the moving of the Holy Ghost and the refreshings like we're having here, that's the way we made it. Woo! Hallelujah! I said we are persecuted, but not forsaken. He is with us. He is for us. He is on our side. We're cast down, but we haven't been destroyed. It'll soon be over, they said. He'll wind up in shipwreck, but amidst the storm and amidst all the storms of life, we sail on. We sail on. I said we sail on. We are still going. Our mast may be tattered. Our bark may be battered. We may be troubled, but we're sailing toward that heavenly shore, that eternal world of whom the world is unworthy. If my name was Savage, I'd say I'm feeling better now. Hallelujah. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. He shall save them. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, I'm going to try to condense it down. And I'm probably going to miss some things that I wished I hadn't. Oh, but listen. We're travelers and journeymen, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Oh, do you know that Bickley boy, a preacher man? I never heard of him. Heaven has. You know that old Brother Jim Suits? You know that Mr. Jim? I know Brother Jim Suits. I don't know nothing about him. Heaven does. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, listen, like Rahab, we've been called out from a world of sin and brought out of a life of shame and disgrace. Oh, like Gideon, we've had to use the little things and the small and been the small crowd, but we're God's crowd. Like Samson, you've had to grind at the mill. Like Jephthah, you've been left as odd one in the whole bunch. They talk about the ball games. No, I'm sorry. They talk about, I'm sorry. But if you're talking about this old time religion, then I know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. They don't want to, Brother Darrell, they don't want to talk about that. Amen. I got where I don't hardly go to many family reunions. Very, very seldom. They'll beg me. I just feel so out of place. I feel more kindred to you than I do to them. Amen. Oh, yeah, they're my cousins and dozens. But they're just something that we just such a difference. Praise God. They want to talk about the Falcons. And I want to talk about the Eagles. Hallelujah. They want to talk about the touchdowns. And I want to talk about the glory that came down. Woo! Hallelujah. So our talk is different and our walk is different. And we got just a different deal. Hallelujah. And we're heading toward a heavenly city, a holy country. Oh, glory to God. Forevermore. I wish somebody help me while I try to preach here tonight on the unworthy world. They don't appreciate Dallas Lakes, but heaven does. Thank God they don't appreciate Chad McDonald, but heaven does. Ha ha. Hallelujah. They don't appreciate Brother Bill, but heaven does. I'll tell you, my dear brother, my dear sister, heaven recognizes you. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been reading some about World War II and about what Oscar Cullerman had to say about World War II, and Brother Liebrock was there. Boy, I was glad to, sorry he was there, but I was glad to hear that because that'd give me some fire, some ammunition for my message tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, D-Day. Oh, yeah. It was a dark day. It was a dim day. It was a day of trouble, but victory must be won. We must defend. We must attack. We must go on. Maybe there may be someone here tonight that remembers D-Day. I was a small boy. I don't remember it, but my uncles, especially one of them that was there and told me about it. My brother-in-law, my wife's oldest brother, 19 years old, lost his life and gave his life in Iwo Jima, possibly talking to Brother Bill Addis, John L., and Brother Addis was probably on the same invasion at the same time. 19-year-old, handsome, nice-looking, black-headed, olive-colored skin, Indian-type young man lost his life on the battlefield in Iwo Jima and yonder D-Day in France. And when the Allies had come to it somewhere in the 40s. It was a critical day there. My God, have mercy. But they've realized that the forces must cross the English Channel and that they would land on the beach. And they said, that your dad sat out there in that ship for 4 days. Am I right? And that boat and it rocking back and forth. And them Germans are dropping bombs all around. And just everyone looked like it was going to be the last time and the last. And probably I'll never see my parents and I'll never see my homeland again. I'll die over there for four days before they sounded the attack and it began on D-Day for the invasion. But I want to tell you about another D-Day about 2,000 years ago when they got a lowly Nazarene, a man that was humble like a lamb, a man that was innocent in all innocence, a man who did nobody no wrong, who raised the dead, who fed the multitude, who healed the blind. Great God, have mercy. They dreaded him. They hated him. They didn't want him around.
bound. They took him and hung him between two thieves and nailed him to a cross. And there he died. He really died. I mean, he died, praise God. They put him in a tomb. Ah, it was the day the disciples had fled. They were afraid of what was taking place. No doubt their hopes seemed to be shattered. It was a dark time. We set up with him. We've been with him, and now he's left us. But oh, glorious, glorious third day. Oh, glorious day. When D-Day turned to V-Day, victorious he came out of the tomb. Victorious he came out over the grave. Victorious he came out over death. Hallelujah. Ah, my brother, we're fighting. I don't know about you, but I have read the back of the book. I'm an odd, odd turkey. I pick up a book to read it, and the first thing I do, go to the back. If it ain't good in the back, I don't want to read the rest of it. And so, I've read the back of the book. Would you? Now that's King James Version. I use the Good News for Modern Man. It's good news for modern man. King James Version. Look at Revelations. Hallelujah. You know, we're so worried about what's going to happen. And I understand. I really, to some degree, I am also. But get me Revelations 11 and 15, if you would, please. And then we'll go to that. But I want to tell you, folks, I understand what's in the White House. No, I don't. I mean, I know there's somebody there. If you'll notice last night, Brother Aaron said that he was glad to be a Brock. He'd rather be that than be a Rockefeller or be a Gates, but he didn't say nothing about the man in the White House. I reminded him of that after church. He said, they done told me what you said. I started, and I said, no, I bet not. But we're worried about this situation, and we got to have a right to be.
Yes, sir.
But folks, right here, and not giving that guy 1 ounce of credit. I want you to understand that. But I'm going to tell you America's problem tonight more than the White House. It's our houses in America.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Pornography is running rapid. Adultery is accepted. Why, to be a homeowner, there ain't nothing wrong with that, they say. Yeah. Amen.
All right.
In our Pentecostal movements,
yes,
women come up on the platform with the shorts on. No, don't tell me no. They come up with not enough clothes on to flag down a freight train and get up there and do their little Watusi swaying back and forth. My God, have mercy. That's enough to make a buzzard gag. That's good theology, isn't it?
That's good preaching.
Hallelujah. My brother, when there's been men and women that have shouted among us and told us the way that we believe it now was the way they believed it, now they're saying it's not that way anymore. I want you to know the God that Clifton Gallagher come in on years ago, and Sister Bessie and me and all of us old-timers hadn't changed, and we ain't either.
Right.
Glad to see you, Brother Jimmy McDuffie. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, this world is loving sin, and this America's loving it more than most anybody else.
All
we have become the off-scourge and the talk about and the degrace to the world.
Amen. There was a time when you went abroad, you was honored because you was American.
Right.
Now you're looked at as disgrace and shame. Praise God. But I want you to know tonight that there's a few folks right here under the sound of my voice that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ,
right,
which is the power of the God and the salvation.
Yes.
And I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded to believe that he's able to keep that that we have committed unto him against that day. I'm still preaching its old time holiness. It's repentance. It's being born again. It's being washed in the blood, sanctified, holy, hallelujah, holy life. And only a holy life is going to a holy heaven to see a holy God. And you can only go there by Holy Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. But let me tell you, in the midst of it all, I'm not discouraged, because I know how the Bible speaks about these days that's coming and about these days that's upon us. I understand. But they talk, why are you that away? Why do you go sowing? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? I'll tell you, because of that blessed hope that awaits at the end of the journey.
Yes.
I was coming in off the mission field here last year, I think it was. In fact, I'm sure it was. I was tired, wore out, give out. A lot of things on my mind. And I was sitting there in that plane, and there wasn't that many people on there, and I had a whole three seats to myself. Sitting there meditating. I had me a pity party at 520 mile an hour, 35,000 feet in air. So I had a good time, hell pity party. I said, God, I'll soon be preaching 50 years. I've had my buddies and preachers and other folks to say I preach good. There's been a few times, even Sister Bridges said it. But Lord, you ain't never over these nearly 50 years told me I preach good. Thank God he told you, but he ain't told me. He never has said, boy, you preach good tonight. Never has. I said, Lord, why haven't you told me? Other people said. The Lord said, you're still on the stage, my boy. You're still performing, but you're getting close to curtain call, and the end's fixing to come. And when the curtain drops, I'll tell you how you've done.
All right.
Hey, hey!
Yeah. All right.
But may I say to you tonight, in an unworthy world that cannot care or do not care and count you as nothing, and they esteem you as a reproach and as a shame and as a disgrace. You look like some old granny. You look like something from the 20s. You look like this. You look like that. That might be so, but thank God we don't look like them.
All right.
Hallelujah! I'd rather look like a jaybird anytime than I had a buzzard, hadn't you? Praise God. Oh, hear me tonight. Read for me in Revelations 11. Of course, you know the number 11 is a number of failure. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, had not it have been for faith in the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of eternity, the God of omnipotence, had not it have been for him, they would have failed.
Yes, sir.
And we got men standing right here and brothers right here tonight, just sitting in women. Their lives was a miserable, wretched failure and would be a failure now had not it been for faith in Jesus Christ. I'm what I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you don't like me. He does. Hallelujah. Oh, hear me tonight. 11th chapter of the book, number 15. Read for me, brother.
And the seventh angel sounded,
uh-huh,
and there was great voices in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, the kingdoms of this world.
What?
The kingdoms of this
world.
Hey,
hold on. Theirs is just temporary.
Mm-hmm.
They think they got it.
Mm.
They hadn't got the anchor down.
No, sir. No, sir.
They're drifting toward a failure.
All right.
They're drifting toward their rocks of destruction.
Come on.
The kingdoms of this earth. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Hallelujah. Read
are
for
become
me.
The kingdom
hey,
of
all
Lord.
Of a sudden he's going to take over. He's going to say, that's enough. I'm tired
yeah.
that much. I'm taking it back. It was his in the beginning. He's let them have it. But
yeah.
I'm taking it back. And the kingdoms of this earth shall become what?
The kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Woo! And he shall reign forever and ever.
How long? How
forever
long?
Forever and ever.
How long? How
forever
long?
And ever.
Oh.
Forever and ever.
Hey, and they said yeah. we shall reign forever,
forever.
And ever. Oh,
forever.
Thank God. It's not going to stop. Praise God. And it shall reign forever and ever.
Yes. Woo. Hallelujah.
Read to chapter 22, please, verse 5. I'm trying to back out of here now.
Hallelujah. And there shall be no night there.
I want you to listen. Hold on. You good brothers. Let's pull these campers. Cars. Mm-hmm. Some of you can't even afford a camper. Wish you could. And you had to live out of the suitcase. Don't feel like the Long Ranger. I've lived there too. A lot of us have. Mm-hmm. But the nights have been long. Oh, and we wondered. Oh, God. I dread to see the sundown. I tried to go to bed because I lay there and think about some of my members that's not thinking about themselves. Some of them is who and say, oh, preacher, don't worry about me, and they're going away all the time. Oh, God. Oh, God. I look around here and I see young men that shouldn't have gray hair in the head, but it is, and it's because of those long Brother Joe Littleton nights that they laid there and wondered. Read on for me, brother. Pastor, please.
There shall be no night there, uh-huh. no need, no. There shall no need, no candle.
Right.
Neither
you
light
ain't
of the
light
sun.
Candle. Read on for me.
For the Lord God giveth them light.
Oh, hallelujah. Read on.
And they shall reign forever.
For who?
They shall reign forever.
For how long?
Forever
whoa,
and
whoa, whoa,
ever.
Whoa, 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 wait a minute. For how long?
Forever and ever. They shall reign forever and ever.
We're going to reign forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
Sister
Hallelujah.
Teresa. Sister Teresa, where you at? Teresa.
Butler.
Butler. Where you at?
She's coming.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
This song, I've been singing just a part of it the last couple of days. And I've been just getting a little of it to give to you tonight. If this world from you withhold all its silver and its gold, and you have to live on meager fare, just remember in his word how he fed a little bird. Take it to the bird, to the Lord, and leave them there.